Reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When Moses had finished speaking to all Israel, he said to them, I am now 120 years old and am no longer able to move about freely. Besides, the Lord has told me that I shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross before you. He will destroy these nations before you, that you may supplant them. It is Joshua who will cross before you, as the Lord promised. The Lord will deal with them just as he dealt with Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites whom he destroyed, and with their country. When therefore the Lord delivers them up to you, you must deal with them exactly as I have ordered you. Be brave and steadfast. Have no fear or dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who marches with you. He will never fail you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and in the presence of all Israel said to him, Be brave and steadfast. For you must bring this people into the land, which the Lord swore to their fathers he would give them. You must put them in possession of their heritage. It is the Lord who marches before you. He will be with you and will never fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. Verbum Domini. The portion of the Lord is his people. For I will sing the Lord's renown. O proclaim the greatness of our God. The rock, how faultless are his deeds, how right all his ways. Think back on the days of old. Reflect on the years of age upon age. Ask your father and he will inform you. Ask your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned the nations their heritage, when he parceled out the descendants of Adam, he set up the boundaries of the peoples after the number of the sons of Israel. While the Lord's own portion was Jacob, his hereditary share was Israel. The Lord alone was their leader. No strange God was with them.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." Verbum Domini.
Ave tibi, Christe.
Our Lord is constantly answering the real questions that we do not dare to ask. And how often in life do we struggle to get to the heart of what we desire to know or to experience? So the disciples ask a rather general question: who is the greatest? And this is the Greek word is the same that we get mega. So who is mega? But interestingly, they know to add in the kingdom of heaven, that Matthew, in the gospel according to Matthew, he loves this concept. And knowing that this is where the Father is. And it is a reality not only in the future, but even now. And this is what Jesus told them to proclaim in Matthew 10:7. As you go preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Our Lord gives a solemn response, so he says, "Amen, I say to you," to this question that turns the general who is the greatest, into a specific you. He speaks in the plural to all of them, to all of us, but he knows the heart. He knows that each of us, when looking upon a child, will understand something of the kingdom of heaven. For us who proclaim to be adults, we have to change our ways, because so often we have set up barriers to the kingdom of heaven and we have become content. And this is similar to what St. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 4:8, speaking in an exaggerated way to make a point. He says, "You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you." So the reality is that we have something much greater from our Heavenly Father. A great parable in this vein, though only found in the Gospel of Luke, is the parable of the prodigal son. So when we try to have the kingdom being great on our own, we get pig slop, but Jesus promises us the kingdom of heaven. So John will highlight this also, both in his Gospels and his letters, the beauty of the love of the Father for us. As in 1 John 3:1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And to this point, I'd like to point out that Matthew 18, verses 6 through 9 and 11, we skip over them in this passage of this proclamation of the gospel. And that's okay from the practical standpoint, because we'll deal with the Mark and Luke inversions at other times where we have other versions. So in the synoptics, we have the same story. And so we don't need to deal with the whole thing every time. But they leave out something very odd in the Matthew version. This is the only time Jesus condemns something. Well, not the only time he condemns something, but in this passage or this group of sayings. He says, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the man by whom temptation comes." Filling out his teaching on the greatness of children, or who is great in the kingdom, Jesus enjoins us not to despise them, to look down upon them in the negative sense. Rather, look to the angels who look up upon the face of the Heavenly Father of Jesus. The Father loves them so much that he will send his Son as man to go in search of the stray, that the Father rejoices so much in looking upon his little lambs. So finally, Jesus emphasizes that the Father is not only his Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father. As in the resurrection appearance to Mary Magdalene in the Gospel of John, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." That instead of trying to go to God by our own power, trying to get great on our own, that we receive the inheritance that is ours from our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So in conclusion, I'd like to pray again with you our opening prayer, something we kind of graze by. So often, but that speaks of this. So we're to pray again. Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised, through Christ our Lord. Amen.